Hello, everybody. How are you? Welcome. Okay, we're going to start a little bit differently. This is going to be a sort of a continuation of Dr. Snyder's presentation on Shabbos. For those... Oh, dear, because you heard it, right?
No, I had to stay home and babysit.
Good for you. For those who were there, it was a wonderful presentation. And she talked about the idea of being down the past chus. Of judging others favorably.
Favorably.
So I'm going to talk about the idea of judging others. This class is called Judging Others, Judging Ourselves. It's a four-part class. Okay? You have to see. So come sit. It's a four-part class. Today we're going to talk about the idea of judging. Judging in general. Because I don't want to repeat too much of what Janet said. She was wonderful, but I don't want to repeat too much of it. Just the idea of judging. Why do we have to judge? Where does the idea of judging come from? Are we supposed to judge? Are we not supposed to judge? And where does that come from? Next week, I will not be here. I have a wedding in New York City that I have to attend a friend of mine. Rabbi Avadia Sofer of Eshet Torah will be giving the second class. And hopefully, if I communicate with him, he'll be talking about the idea of judging ourselves. It's very easy to judge others, but how do we judge ourselves? How do we see ourselves? How do we view ourselves? How should we view ourselves? The third week is the week before Rosh Hashanah. And we're going to talk about how judging relates to Rosh Hashanah, how God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, judges us, and how we should relate to Rosh Hashanah as a day of judgment, as Yom HaDin, as it's called. And finally, the fourth week, the judging is over. It's very interesting to note, when you talk about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. It's a day of judgment. Yom Kippur is the day of atonement. So the question is, you've been judged already. You know, once Rosh Hashanah is over, it's done. So what's left to do on Yom Kippur? We'll talk about that also. Okay, so that's the four-part class, and we're going to talk about these things in somewhat great detail. And I think that it's important to talk about these things, because all too often Rosh Hashanah comes, and we have the apples and the honey, but we haven't given it a second thought. So this is a good time to focus on these ideas, focus on these concepts, and to try to improve ourselves and prepare for Rosh Hashanah. Okay, I'm going to throw a word out there and let's see what your reaction is. I'm sort of glad a certain individual is not here because he would have a field day with it. How do you react when I say the word tolerance? Tolerance. First of all, what does it mean, tolerance? What does it mean to be tolerant?
To put up with
somebody. Okay.
Accepting.
Understanding.
Understanding, respect.
Accepting.
Okay, is accepting. Is tolerance a good thing? Okay.
Asking for it all the time.
What?
Asking for it all the time.
From?
From our surroundings.
Tolerance is, as defined, the capacity for or the practice of recognizing and respecting the beliefs and practices of others. Recognizing and respecting the beliefs and practices of others. Is that a Jewish concept? Yeah, Eddie, come.
I would assume they
come. Okay, what? He's afraid I'm going to lash out against him. Is that a Jewish concept? The capacity for, or the practicing of, recognizing and respecting the beliefs or practices of others.
Depends who you ask.
What?
Depends who you ask.
Miriam doesn't think so. Why not?
We're all full of pages.
Because, with all of the people, all of the stories that we hear, people who go off the derech, that they have been corrected. They have been, we don't tolerate that. We're supposed to stand up against that. For beliefs that go against what we were. I know, part of me, the liberal part of me is being very conservative, okay. Is like, you know, trying to come out. There are times when we should not tolerate ill behavior, poor beliefs, like Baal Peor.
What does that mean to tolerate it?
We're not supposed to tolerate it.
What does that mean?
To accept or to respect.
Okay.
The beliefs of others.
Correct.
Absolutely correct.
I mean, you give an extreme example. But Judaism teaches us, in America, there are different things. In America, there's such an idea of freedom. Everyone has the right to do what they want. And that's a wonderful quality that America gives us. But the idea of tolerance means not only are you free to do what you want, I have to respect and recognize your practice as something that's legitimate. That's tolerance. And that is not, in my view, a Jewish concept. Because there's a big difference between saying you have the right to do it and say that you should be doing it. And what you do is good for you, and what I do is good for me. Sometimes, I think, you have to say, what I do is good for me, and what you do is bad for you. And you have the right to do it, but not necessarily should be doing it. Okay, I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to give you an article by Dr. Oliver Sacks. I'm going to spend a few minutes reading it. Very interesting article from a book that Rena got for me from the library because she thought I would enjoy it, which I did. Called The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. You'll see what I mean in a minute. It's a little bit of reading. We'll stop for a minute. Everybody's going to read this because we want to understand what is it, Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment. It's the first day. She would think, can't God lighten up a little bit? I mean, the first day, what do Americans do on the first day? They all get drunk, and then they have a party, and then they wake up late, and they take the day off. So wouldn't it be much better if Rosh Hashanah was Purim? You know what I'm saying? Everybody get drunk, have a good time, and then, sometime Purim time, you say, you want to judge us? Okay, judge us.
Why do you
want to
be just like them?
What? Well, right, okay, I don't want to be just like them. I don't even have to tolerate it. Yeah, very good.
Just one way or another.
What?
He's going to judge us.
Why is it the first thing? Why is it the first thing? You ever think about that? Why is the first day of the year Yom HaDin?
Because it's the beginning of the
year. Okay, great. At the end of last year, right, the beginning of this year. Why start out the year so serious? Give us apples and honey are good. I like them. Meals are fine. Yeah, I can even do Tashlis. You walk to the water and have a good time, although we have to find some water here. Did you find me some water?
I haven't called yet.
Okay. But, why be so heavy? You ever think about that? The beginning of the year? Nobody thought about that? That's the tone for the year of...
Okay, good.
Tolerance, judgment. Okay, very good. So take a minute and start to read The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. If everybody will take one. Okay, wherever you are, I think you've gotten pretty much far enough to get the point. So I'd ask everyone to turn to page 19. You can read the rest of it on your own. You have a person who has the ability to see that this is a sphere containing liquid, and he couldn't tell you that it's a cup of tea. Cylinder. I'm sorry. I'm not a scientist. So I see what's inside of it as opposed to what,
See, but you don't see it as a... Okay.
How should one interpret Dr. P's peculiar inability to interpret, to judge a glove as a glove? Manifestly, here he could not make a cognitive judgment, though he was prolific in the production of cognitive hypotheses. A judgment is intuitive, personal, comprehensive, and concrete. We see how things stand in relation to one another and oneself. It was precisely this setting, this relating, that Dr. P. lacked, though his judging in all other spheres was prompt and normal. Was this due to lack of visual information or faulty processing of visual information? This would be the explanation of some given by classical schematic neurology. Or was there something amiss in Dr. P's attitude so that he could not relate what he saw to himself? His explanations or mode of explanations are not mutually exclusive. Being in different modes, they could coexist and both be true. I don't want us to skip to the last paragraph. Neurology and psychology, curiously, though they talk of everything else, almost never talk of judgment. Yet it's precisely the downfall of judgment which constitutes the essence of so many neuropsychological disorders. Judgment and identity may be casualties, but neuropsychology never speaks of them. And yet, whether in the philosophic sense or as an empirical and evolutionary sense, judgment is the most important faculty we have. An animal or a man may get on very well without abstract attitude, but will speedily perish if deprived of judgment. Judgment must be the first faculty of higher life or mind, yet is ignored or misinterpreted by classical neurology. And if we wonder how such an absurdity can arise, we find it in the assumptions or the evolution of neurology itself. For classical neurology has always been mechanical, from Ewing Jackson's mechanical analogies to the computer analogies of today. He could not have said it better. I asked the question originally, why does the year start on Rosh Hashanah? Why do you have to have Yom HaDin, the day of judgment, the first day of the year? And the answer is, at least the Gemara says that the world was created on the 6 days before Rosh Hashanah, and on the sixth day, man was created, that was Rosh Hashanah. He said it the best way himself. How did he say it? He said, judgment must be the first faculty of higher life or mind. Right? It is, that is the definition of what it means to be human. An animal doesn't make a value judgment. It's hungry, it eats. It's not a question of is it moral, is it not, is it kosher, is it not. It's hungry, so it's going to eat. It's going to, you know, it feels uncomfortable, it needs to defecate. Either it's trained or it's not trained. Human beings make value judgments. That's what being a human being is all about. So why is the first day of Rosh Hashanah Yom HaDin the day of judgment? Because that is the day humanity was born. And the most human thing to do is to treat us like human beings, to judge us. And the most human thing for us to do is to judge ourselves. It's the best way to start the year, because judging is inherently what we are and what we do.
So to bring our judging to a higher level.
Right.
Because judging, we do this into... I just came back from a conference on autism. Okay, so this is exactly what this is all about. People with autistic spectrum disorder have social cognitive deficit, which is what you're seeing here.
Mm-hmm.
So they what you're seeing is exactly, they don't have that intuitive thing. Like when we see this, it's a hot cup of coffee.
Correct.
We take it, what is part of the whole process of judgment.
But we do it on a much broader scale.
And it happens in an instant.
It happens in an instant.
Trying to train our
we do it in an instant. You see somebody from afar.
Right.
But you already measure how they dress, how they look,
and it's all broken down. But people with the deficit do not have this ability.
Right.
They don't see the big picture. They can't interact with the big picture.
Right. So I was trying to say, and he does it so well, when you take it all away, the difference between us and a computer is our ability to evaluate. Evaluate people, evaluate situations, make determinations of right or wrong. And that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what God wants us to do. To use that intuitiveness, like you say, to bring it to a higher level. Okay, so we spoke about the idea of judging.
What does that have to do with him and his brain tumor?
What do you mean? His brain tumor would not allow him to see and put things together. What I was trying to show you was, through this example, that judging is inherent and part and parcel of what humanity means, what it means to be a human being. And this person, by losing it, showed us really what we have. Sometimes you need to see, and that's what's fascinating about the book. When you assume, you take it for granted, that you know that this is a cup. Right? You try to teach a computer that this is a cup. They still can't do it, by the way, and they're never going to be able to do it.
If you know something's wrong with him, I figured something would come up physical, they'd find something physical.
It's not a matter of, it's not a question of whether he had a tumor or didn't have a tumor. The idea is, what was he lacking in personality, and what do we have that we always take for granted? And what do we do all the time that we always take for granted? Okay, now we'll give out the other sheets, and we'll move from there. There's always more sheets. What I guess I want to talk about today is, Dr. Snyder, in her talk, spoke about judging others and how it's a very, very large Torah value to judge others favorably. We all know that, and we'll talk about it. I'm sure everybody has examples where, you misinterpreted a certain event. I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he didn't say that. I can't believe she did that. I can't believe she didn't do that. It happens to us all the time, and you have to give people the benefit of the doubt. The question I'd like to ask is, are you supposed to judge somebody at all? Because we have conflicting evidence. Are the sheets going around? Make sure everybody has a copy of the sheet. Oh, go ahead.
No, it's
take and pass. There's a take. Take one, pass it on. Okay. There's three. Yeah. Take a stack. Okay. Turn to page two of the sheets. Page 2. So now, starting out of class 1, page 2 at the top. I'm going to wait for Henry to get his sheet. No, it's good. What? Clocking? This is better. This is better. Okay. Says the Mishnah. See where it says against. Evidence against judging. Are you supposed to judge your fellow man or not? Oh, you passing it around? I think it's still going around. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet. Hu Hayah Omer. He used to say, Al Tehi Dan Yechidi. Don't judge people individually. Do not judge alone. Se'ein Dan Yechidi Ela Echad. Because there is only one judge. Who is the only one who judges alone? God. The Al Tomar Kiblu Dati, and don't take my opinion. Shein Rishain Velo Ata. But they are permitted to, but not you. Okay, let's focus on the first part. Al Tehi Dan Yechidi. So when I evaluate a situation, I'm not asking anybody else, what do you think? We always do that. We judge alone all the time. All the time. So it seems to be, so what am I supposed to do? I'm not supposed to judge others. I should not come to a cognitive evaluation of other people. And that's number one. Skip to the next one. Yehoshua ben Prachya v'nitai harabelu kivlu mehem. Yehoshua ben Prachya, what? I'm on page two, yes, in the middle. Yehoshua ben Prachya Omer. Very famous. Janet quoted this. Dr. Snyder quoted this on Shabbos. Ashe lecha rab, ukne lecha chaver. Make for yourself a rabbi. Acquire for yourself a friend. Lahave dan es kol haadam lekaf suchus, and judge everyone favorably. Now let me ask you an objective question. She did not bring up. If you judge everybody favorably, there's a problem. What's the problem? What is the problem?
Tolerance.
Here you go. Then you're not judging them. Wait, if everything everybody does really was okay, then what are you judging?
You're not judging.
So again, another example where it seems like you're not supposed to judge other people. I'm not supposed to judge you. You do your thing, I do my thing. We have the T word again. The third one, Hillel Omer. Hillel says, Al tifros min hatzibur. Don't separate yourself from the community. Al tal min bi'atzmecha ad yom moscha. Do not believe in yourself until the day you die. Al tadin es chavercha ashetagia limkoma. Do not judge your friend until you have arrived at his place. Right? You can't judge somebody until you're standing in their shoes. What's the catch?
You can never stand.
You can never stand in somebody's. You can never. And that, we all know that objectively to be true. If they knew that about me, they would understand why I did X, Y, and Z. Or my upbringing, or my family situation, or what happened to me today, or any of those reasons. It's all true. Don't have faith in yourself. Don't. What?
Please don't believe in yourself.
Right, it sounds pretty down, but I think what it means is don't think that you're so great that you achieved it on your own. That's one interpretation. There's probably a lot of different interpretations. But again, so I brought you three Mishnayot that basically say the following. Don't judge other people. So how can you tell me, how can you tell me how they down a kol adam is supposed to judge everybody favorably? What you really should say is, don't judge anybody at all. Right, be tolerant. Right? That's what the Mishnah says, should say. Right? Tolerance is a virtue. Everybody should be tolerant of everybody else. What they do, they do. And what you do, you do. You think so? I'm asking you if you think that's true.
Yeah.
You do. So you think that they're always just trying to say, well, you could interpret the first couple of them as dan yechidi, meaning being a judge in a court kind of way. Well, we don't really interpret it that way, especially have a dan the kol ha'adam the kaf shchud. It's not really talking about in the context of court. It's talking about in the context of human nature, of interaction.
To the worst conclusion, consider and rule out the.
So I would say, fine, then don't come to any conclusion at all.
Human nature is that most people look at the worst of people.
Right. So you're saying the Mishnah is saying don't do that.
Right.
So why, instead of saying that, why should the Mishnah just say don't think about it? It's not your problem. You know?
Well,
very often, I'm sure Mrs. Lorch has this attitude. My wife comes home from work, and she tells me, this and this happened at school. And I say, isn't that interesting? That's not your area, right? You work as a teacher in this section. What happens in, what happened today in the fourth grade English class is irrelevant to you. So, what you have to do is you compartmentalize. We all have this in our jobs, right? Ida doesn't, because everything affects her. You know, you're on the legal division, and the accounting place that made a problem. I mean, I guess, how does it work if you're, you know, the accounting...
You have to get them out of trouble.
Yeah, you have to get them out of trouble. Oh, he's a legal guy anyway, so they have to... You know, we all have that. We have our department, and you can't control everything. You can't save everybody, so worry about yourself. So why doesn't this just say, worry about yourself?
Because...
Why?
We're human.
You mean we're human? You tell me to judge everybody favorably. That's not antithetical to human nature. I mean, you know, our assumption is forget ourselves judging the worst. Why? It didn't say that. It said don't judge them. Right? It doesn't say don't help other people. Help them. But if you see things that you disagree with, you have problems with, let it go. It's not your problem. Just say it's not my problem. That's different, right? I'm not saying not help, not get involved. Is Vanessa saying that? It's not. Mm-mm. It is not saying that. So that, but it seems to be, I have three sources I quoted you that seems to be against judging other people. Now, so I have three Mishnahs. Look at the top. Four. Lo tashu avel b'mishpat. Do not do wrong in justice. Lo tishap ne'dal. You should not favor a destitute man. Velo tedar p'nei gadol. And you should not honor a great man. B'tzedek tishpot amitecha. You should judge your fellow man with righteousness. What does that mean? This is clearly talking in the case context of a court case. In the original way, in the simple language, talking about a court case. What does that mean? B'tzedek tishpot amitecha. What does it mean with righteousness?
Don't give people special... Whatever.
Qualities.
Special qualities.
Fair.
Because the poor man just... Don't do better for the poor man just because he's poor, or worse for the rich man because he's rich. You have
good.
To treat everybody equally.
Good. Treat everybody fairly. Now, would you also say that this pasuk is talking about an individual judging other people? Meaning, if it's a value in the court, shouldn't it also be a value in human life? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what she said.
Yeah.
Judge somebody the way you would want to have yourself.
That's not what I said. You would want to have yourself judged favorably. Here it says, look at Unklus. You're not going to understand all of them, because you might understand the end. Lof to abdum shekar bedina, sheker, see the word sheker in judgment? Don't make sheker. Lof tishav apay mishkina, don't, you know, fake judgment for the mishkin. You might recognize that word in Hebrew. What's a mishkin? Where's Dora?
Poor person.
The mishkin, and mishkin is
poor guy,
nebuch. Lof to hadar apay rabba, and don't, you know, benefit the rav, the great man. Bekushta to dine lechaverecha. Bekushta means in truth. Judge him truthfully. So when I judge somebody truthfully, what does that mean?
You're judging them.
Judge them.
Yeah.
Take it into account. Right. Don't cover it. Don't hide it.
Do what he's doing. Don't see their face. You know, as if you don't have that intuitive. This is taking on the face of who they are.
Right. Well, I mean, a little bit different, but he's saying, take in all the facts, evaluate the facts, and make a judgment.
But don't look at who they are. You know?
Right, but don't look at who they are. That's absolutely correct. You know, evaluate the issue. But that is not. What is that not?
Not what's done.
That's not judging people favorably. That is not judging people favorably. But judging people favorably is trying to come up with some, you know, concoction for why, you know, well, they couldn't have been, it must be some other reason. You know, you remember the story of, you know, that Janet quoted. I'll repeat it. A lot of people, how many people were at her class? Half they were, half they weren't. So I'll read you an interesting story. Fun to hear again anyway. It was late Tuesday when the phone rang. This is a great book, by the way. A good friend of mine by the name of JP was calling me. Perhaps you can help me. I'm making a wedding soon, and I'd like you to recommend a good photographer. After giving it some thought, I gave him the name of a man who was both an excellent photographer and also very reasonably priced. I've heard about him, came my friend's reply, but I was told that he was unreliable. Oh, really? I said. What makes you say so? Well, I'm told that he recently was hired for a bar mitzvah, and he first arrived after it was half over. He missed half the affair. There's no way I'd hire a person that's so responsible. Certainly is a severe charge, I thought. Are you sure? Very strong accusation. Quite positive. Not making it up, go check it out yourself. I sure will. So he went to call him, called the guy, he said, perhaps you're right. So he decided to check it himself. The very next day, I bumped into my good friend, the photographer. I brought up the subject of the bar mitzvah in question. Is it true that you arrived halfway through the bar mitzvah, I asked? Yes, it certainly is, but why are you asking? I just recommended you for a job, and people refused to take you. They claimed you were unreliable because you didn't come on time. He looked at me in disbelief and shock, and then began telling me his story. I listened very carefully. The job was not mine at all, he said. The photographer who had been hired failed to show up. I received an emergency call in the middle of the affair to come down, and despite being very busy at the moment, I dropped everything I was doing and raced down to the hall as quickly as possible. With a hurt look on his face, he said, I only did it as a personal favor to them. Right. Yeah. Right. Now, there are these stories. There are all kinds of stories. Everybody has a story where they were misjudged. Yeah. But the most times, let's be perfectly honest, when somebody comes late, most times, what's the reason that they're late?
They're irresponsible.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I was late today. So you're telling me, now let me ask you, that was very much done to call out of the cops. Like, oh, maybe he was hired for half of the affair and he didn't come late himself, but he just was doing a favor. Maybe. But probably he wasn't. So here I have a pasuk telling me, B'tzedek tishpot amitecha, judge people righteously. I want the truth. Make an evaluating judgment and judge them and make a value judgment based on that. Look at Rashi. Rashi is unbelievable. See the Rashi at the bottom of the first source on page 2. Rashi says, "V'tzedek tishpot amitecha, with righteousness shall you judge your fellow." You see where I am on top of page 2? Everyone see where I am? Top of page 2 in the Rashi. This is an art scroll version of elucidated Rashi. So you have the Hebrew and then the English. This is to be understood kimashma'o, as it sounds. That's Rashi's first interpretation. You know, what does it sound like? That's what it means. Davar acher, alternatively, I'll give you a second interpretation of what it means. Have dan et chavercha, judge your friend, lekashchut, towards the scale of merit. When the nature of his conduct is questionable, give him the benefit of the doubt. So what I'm trying to show you is, Rashi gave two interpretations of the pasuk, and both of them are exactly opposite one another. They are mutually exclusive. Either judge him favorably or judge him truthfully. So which one is it? Have I thoroughly confused you now? Which one is it? Am I supposed to judge? Am I not supposed to judge? Am I supposed to judge truthfully? Am I not supposed to judge truthfully?
Well, maybe you have to find out more information.
Oh, you're saying you're supposed to judge, but make sure you have all the information. That is that what have I done to call Adam the Kafskut means? No, but Danakara Adam Kastlut means you don't have the information, you can't get more information, so assume the best.
Right.
That's not...
Well, if you can't get more information...
Or you got as much information as you're going to get.
What you have.
Right, assume the best.
Well,
okay.
This is the standard that you apply in law. I mean, somebody, unless you prove that somebody, that you sue somebody in a civil suit, unless it's more likely that he's liable than he's not, then he's not.
Unless it's, so that's B'tzedek, that's straight.
No, it's not. You're giving him, it is a man.
No, we're saying, let's say it's much more likely that he's liable. So Dana Kola Adam Mekafskud means, even though it's much more likely he's liable, it sounds wrong, I can't believe he did that. So you're supposed to come up with some, you know, crazy concoction to figure out how it didn't actually happen and it wasn't really wrong.
Well,
you know, I have to tell you, Dr. Snyder mentioned, you know, we all have, at one time or another, blamed the hired help in the house for something that's missing. Has anybody not done that? You've never done that? Good for you. Have you ever missed anything?
I can't afford any hired help.
Okay, fine. Now, I will tell you, we had a housekeeper who told us that she moved out of a certain apartment because all the other people in that apartment has their housekeepers, and they all stole. That's what she told me.
Why?
That it was well known. I mean, you know, how much are you making an hour? Let's be honest. To be honest with you, and if you have a Polish cleaning lady, so if you pay $12 an hour, she's paying, the person who hired her is paying half of that, $6 an hour. And they work hard. $6 an hour, you know, so it's hard. It's hard. See where I am? Judging favorably. Right? So which is it? Am I supposed to judge or am I not supposed to judge? So the answer is in the subtle language. And I hope I'm going to be able to show you that the answer is yes. You're supposed to judge, but you're not supposed to judge. Because there's a big difference between the language that Torah uses and the language that the Mishnah uses. And we use them interchangeably, but they mean very different things. Look at what the Torah says again. Lo tasu avel ba mishpat, Lo tisha p'nei dav, lo tehadar p'nei gadol. The tzedek tispot amitecha. With righteousness you should judge your fellow. Tispot. The root of the word tispot is shofet. What does tispot mean? To judge. Oh, let's see. Turn back to page one. This is from the book of Shoftim. Shoftim, chapter 2. Says the Navi, Vayashu b'nei Yisrael et hara b'inei Hashem, vayavdu et ha-ba'alim. Alright, the Jews were not always so great, and they worshipped the ba'alim, the idols. Vayazvu et Hashem elokei avotam, hamotzi otam he'eres Mitzrayim. So they abandoned God who had taken them out of Egypt. Vayalchu acharei elokim acherim, Elohim achirim, Elohei ha'amim, asher shibibotehem, v'yishtachavu lahem. And they followed other gods, foreign gods, v'yachishu et Hashem, and they angered God. V'yazvu et Hashem, they abandoned God, v'yavdu l'baal u'l'ashtarot. They worshipped Baal and Ashtarot. Verse 14, Pasuk Yudalim. V'yicharaf Hashem b'Yisrael, God became angry, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers, and they plundered them. God sold them into the hands of their enemies that surrounded them. They could not stand up before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them, as the Lord said, and as the Lord had sworn to them. Pasuk Kesh Zion, 16. Vayakam Hashem Shoftim. So God made Shoftim, judges. Vayoshium miyad shoshehem, who saved them from the people that afflicted them. Vagamel shoftehem lo shameu. They didn't listen to their judges either. Kizanu acharei Elohim acherim. So they didn't listen to the Shoftim either. So they went away from the way that God had told them. Verse 18. When God gave them judges, God was with the judge. And God saved them from their enemies all of the days of the judge. Ki nachem Hashem mina akatam mitno lochatsehem bedochakehem. Because God had regretted their na'akah, for the Lord relented on account of their groaning, because of their pressure. What is a shofet? Just a judge? What were the shoftim? So what was their role? What did they do?
They showed them the right way.
Leaders, teachers, they were role models.
Uh-huh. Leaders, teachers, role models. Okay, good.
Judges too.
Maybe. Did we ever see an example of a judge judging in the book of Shoftim? A lot of people, we learned Shoftim together. Did we ever see an example of a judge judging in the book of Shoftim?
Not in the sense that we're used to.
So then what does that mean that they judged? Why were they called judges? I think, Henry, it was exactly the opposite. There's a difference. There's two types of judges. There's an internal judge, and there's an external judge. There's a judge for myself that evaluates and sets a tone and establishes a baseline for everyone else to follow. And then there's someone who judges other people. And that judging other people has ramifications. Okay? So what did the Shoftim do? The Shoftim, their job was supposed to be to bring the Jewish people back to God, to try to show them the way, to establish a baseline, to bring the people back into line with God. What did they not do? What did the Shoftim not do? Never enforced it. Shoftim never enforced it. Okay? What does it mean? How would you judge and enforce that judgment? What would the Hebrew word for that be? Anybody know? What is the word for judge today? I'm looking at Dora.
Shofet.
No.
A
Rekin. That's a Rekin is a lawyer.
Yeah.
So what's the judge?
Dayan.
A Dayan. Good. Very good. What is a Dayan? A Dayan is a judge. So now I looked in the, I tried to find, do you know where the word, how many times the word Dayan or Ladun appears in the Torah? I know, because look on page 2. It appears 23 times. Okay? This is from, I took this out of a concordance, an Ibn Shoshan concordance. Concordance is a wonderful tool. All you have to do is know the root of a word. My wife forces her students to use concordances. Yeah, it's a very, very good tool. Once you know the root of the word, it will tell you everywhere that word appears in Tanakh. Mm-hmm. It's funny. We have ours. Our shul copy came from Temple Israel. Why? Because Rabbi Klein, who was a friend of mine, gave it to us. He called me out and said, listen, I got the CD. I now have the CDs. I don't need my concordance anymore. Temple Manual. Sorry. So he gave us the book. I like the book much better. So you know, you have it in your hand. So much better than the CD-ROM. This is better. So now look at what?
Can't use the CD.
Well, we can't. Okay. Look at every example of where the word Ladun appears. So we're going to skip to the fourth, fifth one. Okay, we're just going to look at the ones in the Torah. So see in the column as it goes down, see it says Isaiah, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Jeremiah, Genesis. There we are, Genesis. Danani Elokim v'gam shama b'koli. Who said that? It was Leah, who gave birth to Dan. And she said, Danani Elokim. Who judged me? God judged me. Skip down. Next one. Second one. Jeremiah, Genesis. V'gam et hagoy asher yavodu dan anochi. Who's talking there? Anybody know? V'gam et hagoy. God. God is talking to Abraham and saying, your children are going to go back down to Egypt, and I'm going to judge that nation that afflicts your grandchildren also. Let's get to the next one. 1, 2, 3. Genesis 49. Okay. This is Yaakov talking. Dan yadin amo ke'achad shitei Yisrael. Is that about Dan? You saying that? I think that's about God again. I'm not sure. Okay. Yes. Dan Yadin Amo. That might be Yaakov talking about Dan. Skip down to Deuteronomy. Number 12. Ki Yadin Hashem Amo. And then the rest of them are from the prophets. Look at 13. Hashem Yadim Afshe Arech. Hashem Yadim Amim Shafteni Hashem. Yadin Neumim B'nei Sharim. 16. Yadin Amcha B'Tzedek. 19. Ki Yadin Hashem Amo. Who is the Dayan? Who is the judge? God is the judge. Mm-hmm. Now look back at the source right next to there. Okay? Above the one that says right next to against. Who are Ya'omer? He used to say, Al Tehi Dan Yechidi, don't judge alone. I'm on page 2 again still. Shein Dan Yechidi Ela Echad. There is only one judge. The only Dayan, the only real Dayan, the only real judge that appears in the Torah is God. Why? What's the difference between God and us? God makes a decision and then he carries it out. God is the judge, jury, etc., etc. We are supposed to be shoftim. The shofet doesn't carry out his judgment. The shofet makes a value judgment and tries to set himself straight based on that judgment. A dayan judges others. A shofet judges mostly himself. So, when it comes to judging other people, are you supposed to judge other people? B'tzedek tishpot amitecha. Yes, you're supposed to judge them. You're supposed to evaluate and see. I can't believe he did that. That's a wrong thing to do. So when we talk about have a dan et kol ha'adam lekaf zchut, think about that word. What that means is, how are you going to relate to the person the next time you see them? So for yourself, you're supposed to say, I wouldn't do that. But when you see them, the next time you see them, don't treat them like the person you think they are. Then you have to give them the benefit of the doubt. You understand what I'm saying? Say it again. Say it again. Okay.
But how many people?
I see Ida. Walking into Arby's. Okay. Arby's there. What are the Roy Rogers? What's on the corner of Greenfield? Whatever. And of course, I despise her. I see her eating a hamburger at White Castle. See her eating something at White Castle. So I could say, oh my God, I can't believe I had a client at White Castle. Or I could say maybe she had a diabetic issue. Maybe she has a medical issue. So now the question is the following, right? If I knew that Ida didn't keep kosher, I couldn't eat at her house. So now what assumption do I make vis-a-vis how I relate to her? And what assumption do I make vis-a-vis myself? Vis-a-vis myself, I have to say, a Jew doesn't eat at White Castle. I shouldn't do that. This is obviously an extreme example, a very simplified example. But vis-a-vis how I relate to Ida, she's still my next-door neighbor who I trust, because I have to assume that Ida wouldn't, unless I have, you know, clear information that to the contrary. So let's say somebody walks by me without saying hello. Okay? Are they, it happens all the time, right? Are they snubbing me or are they not? So I have to say to myself, you know, I really need to be careful not to walk by other people and give them the impression that I'm ignoring them. It's important because people can get slighted. Mm-hmm. But next time I see them, I'm not going to slight them because I have to be done them the kashchut. You understand? So the tzaddik yisroel amitacha tells me he shouldn't have done that, and I won't do that. But haveidam mikol ha'adam l'schaschut means I have to judge them and give them the benefit of the doubt the next time I see them, the next time I treat them, the next time I deal with them. And I think that that's an important distinction. We have to make value judgments. We have to decide what's right and what's not. We have to, when we see people doing things that are inappropriate, you have to make value judgments and say that's not an appropriate way to behave. I don't care if it's popular to cheat on your taxes or to overbill or to double charge or to whatever. There's a big difference between saying, you know, you're evil and I'm gonna shun you to try to give you the benefit of the doubt, or to say, well, that must be acceptable. I shouldn't judge that. Mrs. Lord said something.
What if the person keeps doing it?
No, I'm saying again.
And what if that person?
So then you have to decide if that's
nothing, walking by, and after a while, obviously turns away from you.
Oh, you know, I mean, if someone's being nasty to you, you don't have to go ahead and, you know.
But
have they done a call out on the cops court has a limit.
Yeah, okay.
It has a limit.
Where do you stop?
Where's the limit?
Where do you draw the line?
Where do you draw the line? But, where do you stop?
Well, let's say they keep snubbing you. So here's the question. How do you react? They keep snubbing you. So then they're obviously not your friend. You want to get back at them? You want to confront them?
Well,
what I'm saying?
As it turns out, I found it. I had someone.
Yeah.
Just walking by me.
Uh-huh.
And yet when we would sit at a table, we would chat. And turns out the person didn't like wearing glasses and did not see me.
Mm-hmm. All right. So there you go. Okay, perfect. Right. Yeah, that's a good story.
My mother had not a
I think it does behoove you to find out why. If she has, you know what I'm saying? If there's some legitimate reason, it's unusual.
That the person being, you know, vain wasn't wearing glasses. But it happened a number of times. So
right.
Where do you, I mean, at what point do you say that's what's too many?
Let me give you another example. A person talks during davening. Some people do that, right?
Yeah,
some people. I think. Some people stop during davening, and no matter what you say, they're going to continue talking during davening. So the question you have to ask yourself is, how do you relate to them, and how do you relate to yourself? And those are two different things. On the one hand, what do you have to gain? You know what I'm saying?
No,
to confront them, to be nasty to them, to be inappropriate. Right. So you have to give them the benefit of the doubt, be down the kashchus, and say that that's their yetzahara, that's your down the kashchus, and say it's a shame that they do that, and they're educating their children to do the same thing, and not to understand the meaning of davening, and I'm going to move away, but you have to make that value judgment for yourself and say that's inappropriate. Because what happens is, unfortunately, people don't judge other people, and before you know it, they're sitting there talking right next to them. So there's a big difference between judging them how you treat them or how you relate yourself.
There was a thing in Miss Manners about a woman that wrote in and said you're in at the theater and the two people behind you keep talking.
Yeah.
And is it good etiquette to turn around and say, yeah,
I said no.
She said no?
You don't do that.
So what do you do?
That was bad.
What do you do?
You don't say anything, but you...
You spill your cook.
No.
Turn around. Just talk a little louder. I can't get the whole story.
Right. And what about, you're in the car with the children and the policeman stopped you for speeding, and he looks around and he says, well, instead of giving you a ticket for $75, I'll give you the ticket for $65.
Thanks.
Okay, so the kid says, Mommy, what happened? He's really, you know, he really isn't telling you the truth. He's really telling...
I think that you have to, you can explain to your children that policemen have within their discretion to punish at their own discretion, and they don't have to write the number, they can write whatever number. It's not a matter of truth or not truth. But here, you know, what I'm trying to show you is that judging people is important. You have to make value judgments. You have to make value judgments about yourself and about other people. But the question is, though, what is our reaction to that judgment?
Mm-hmm.
Those are very, very different things. You know what I'm saying? It could ruin your whole day. It could literally ruin your whole day. Mm-hmm. Somebody does something that's wrong. They're wrong.
Right.
And you could walk around the rest of the day ticked off about it.
Culture.
Legitimately so. But the question is, why? Who are you hurting?
Yourself.
You understand what I'm saying? That's what I mean. So were they wrong? From what you can see, they were wrong.
Yeah.
But don't hurt yourself about it. Why should you suffer for their iniquity? Mm-hmm. Now, I was sitting with a rabbinic colleague of mine, and we were talking about friends and enemies. They're very interesting. In the rabbinic world, you have people, obviously, that are friends of yours, and then people that don't like you for whatever reason. So I was having difficulty with a certain congregant, and I didn't know how to handle it. So he said, you have to reach out to them. Why is it we all choose our friends, but we also choose our enemies? How do I mean? You're sitting at a bar mitzvah, right? And the one family member who you can't stand walks in the room. So 10 seconds ago, you were having a great time. All of a sudden, that person walks in the room, and now you're miserable. So who made you miserable? They made you miserable, or you made you miserable?
Yourself made
you. Those are choices that we make. Okay, so what's the limit? I have to show you a great story. Maybe it's hard to read. The bottom of page 2. There is a limit. There's a limit. Listen to this. This is not, I had never seen this before. I actually was doing a CD-ROM search for Kaf Shchut, and I came up with this quote. This is from Maseches Katanos, Maseches Kala Rabasi. It's like a Mishnah. Lo yiftar la'adam, lo me'ayetza rabo, v'lo me'ayetza chaveiro, ela mitoch divrei Torah. Now, when you leave somebody, you should give them a Dvar Torah. Nice idea. So mitoch kach zochro, then they'll remember you nicely. If you're walking with your Rebbe, you can't leave until you ask your Rebbe for permission. See right now it says in bold. You should treat everybody in your eyes like a thief. You never saw that from the Mishnah before. They didn't quote that. They didn't write books about that one, right?
The
Chabdeim to Rabban Gamliel, but honor them like Rabban Gamliel. So here's a great story. Ma'aseh Rabbi Yehoshua, Shihichnis Eslo Adam Echad. Rabbi Yehoshua, he met some guy, and the guy said, I need a place to stay. No problem. Natan lo achila ushtia. So he gave him something to eat, something to drink. Ha'aleho legad. So he gave him, he said, you can stay in the loft tonight. Right? V'natan lo tasula mitachtav. Oh, he took away the ladder. Ma'aseh oto ha'ish. What did the guy do? Amad b'chachi ha'layla. So he got up in the middle of the night. He collected all of the stuff in the room. He wrapped it up in a bundle. And he tried to go down the ladder, and he fell. And he broke his back. So in the morning, Rabbi Yeshua wakes up. Oh, lo and behold, what do you know? Here's a guy lying on his back. With all the stuff lying in the bag. Amalo reka kach osim b'nei adam. What are you doing? People don't behave like that. Amalo, he says, Mama yiki yodea senatal pe'at tashulam mitachtai. He says, I didn't know you took the ladder away. I wouldn't have fallen. Amalo reka yiki yodea shem emesh ha'im is a human bach. He says, you idiot. Don't you remember we were watching it yesterday? Meaning, obviously there was something about this person that gave him reason to suspect.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave him to suspect, so what did he do? He took the proper precautions. So what you're saying is, Rabbi Yeshua also believed in Havedan and Kola Adam Lekas Chut. But there's a good principle. Don't be an idiot. You know, you have to be wary, and you have to know, and you have to use a common sense. That's if there's a legitimate reason, or you could salvage it, you could make peace. You're incumbent upon yourself to do so. If you can't make peace, there's no good reason. You make a value judgment, you establish that you think that's right, that's not right, but how are you going to react to it? You shouldn't be a dayan, be a shofet. Don't be a judge, be a judge. Be a judge for yourself, be a judge for your family, be a judge for your children, and make the value judgment. So how do you know what's the value judgment? The answer comes from Shoftim. Shoftim says, Pasuk 18, the first page again, I know, flipping through. Verse 18 on the page, first page. V'chi hekim Hashem lahem Shoftim, v'haya Hashem im ha-shofet. What's the bottom line? What's the value judgment? How do you decide? The values of the Torah. Those are the value judgments we make. The Torah gives us tremendous, tremendous lessons in order to decide and make value judgments about behavior. Is it right or isn't it right? And there are gray areas. But sometimes it's quite clear. And you say to yourself, this is not something that I abide by. This is not something I agree with. This is not something I tolerate. But he's still my friend. And I think those are different. Those are very different things. And those are a good way of starting to think about Rosh Hashanah. About, you know, don't go crazy about other people. Judge how they behave in relationship to yourself. And use it as a lesson to learn and to grow. Okay, we will stop here.